Now, It Sucks to Be Right presents a Tara Buster with comedian Tara Devlin from RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. Recorded live at FYNation.com and replayed on Progressive Voices.
Oh my God, Happy New Year! Are we going to make it through this next year? This is Tara Devlin. Thank you for joining me. This is New Year's Eve. If you're listening, well, if we're recording live, but if you're listening on Progressive Voices, this is New Year's Day. And then, of course, any time on the Progressive Voices app. So I'm happy to be here for as fascism comes to America in 2016. There is, I was thinking about what kind of angle to take today. What, you know, I guess we should really kind of steel ourselves for the fight that we're gonna have to wage. And listen, people, we are on the right side of history. Uh-oh, my cat is eating a candy cane.
Get over here.
See, this is how we roll. This, you know,
we'll have a studio.
We do it live. I don't know if you heard that in the background. There's this, like, it was my little cat eating a candy cane, and you know, whatever it is, the season. But he had the plastic on it, so I didn't want him to swallow it. You know, he's a kitten. What do we take? Oh, you know what? Actually, I should tell this story because this is a good story that gave me hope for the world. Now that I'm thinking about it. In fact, I spoke to Ron Placone about this. Ron was here hanging out. He came into New York for some meetings, and he stayed at my place, and he met my little kitties, and I told him this story that, because I've been getting very depressed about the state of this world, but then, see, I have two cats. I always have two. I kind of cut myself off at two. You know, because the road to the crazy cat lady is like a slippery slope. You know what I mean? Like, there must have been a time in the crazy cat lady's life where she was like, why not? What's another one going to hurt? Right? And then it's all downhill. So I always have two at a time. So I had a cat. I had one who died, who very young. He had a heart attack. That's not the good part. That's not the heartwarming part. But I adopted another kitten after my other one passed away suddenly. And he had problems. Initially, when I brought him home, I thought this is a demon. I don't know what the hell was wrong with him. I never had a kitten like this. He attacked my face. He might have been a Republican. That's what I thought. Maybe he was like a Republican and troll or something. So he'd come back as a Republican, you know, so come back as a cat. But he was so angry. The thing was 15 weeks old. I was like, how much could have happened to this cat in 15 weeks that turned him into this raging demon? And I thought, oh my God, am I going to have a demon in my house for the next 15 years or however long this cat is alive? Because I would never bring him back because I would think nobody would want him, you know? So I would just be sentencing him to death, basically. So, but what it was that he was in pain. And I realized, it didn't take too long to realize that he wasn't going to the bathroom. He couldn't urinate. I went out, came home. He was sitting in the litter box and with nothing. And I picked him up, and you know, that's a medical emergency. I took him back to the vet in the shelter where I adopted him. But this was back and forth. They put a catheter in and blah blah blah. They said he had some injury down there. But it's a very sad story. What had happened was his litter mates, basically, his mother went out to I guess feed them. They were all feral. They were found in Virginia for some reason. I don't think they fix their cats or dogs, because they always have a lot of strays and whatnot coming up to New York from Virginia. But the mother cat went out didn't come back, and him and his littermates were starving, and so basically his littermates bit his penis off. Okay, not off. It wasn't completely off. They wounded it beyond repair. So this cat, they didn't know what they were going to do. He basically had his penis removed. So after a week of trying to salvage this, they brought him into the Animal Medical Center in New York City, where I only knew this kitten a week, and I was so wrapped up in, I was crying. I didn't believe how much I was so attached to him, even though he had basically mauled my face off. But all right, I'm getting to the point, people. I'm sorry. I know I'm going all over the map. But they called in this, because he was so young, doing an operation like this is very precarious because he was so little. They have to sew it up so he can go to the bathroom and or pee. Well, he does literally go to the bathroom in my house because my cats are toilet trained, so he does use the toilet. But they called in an expert, and the students came to watch this operation. And the guy who did the operation, apparently he was a surgeon for 40 years, a veterinary surgeon, and this was only the third time he had done an operation on an animal that small. So it was kind of a big deal. And then I just thought to myself, after all, you know what I mean, when I called them up and they said, he's resting comfortably, and I just burst out in tears, that just thinking about in this horrible world that there were all these people, these experts, this surgeon that went to school that had 40 years of experience, and to save the life of a little kitten, you know what I mean? Like, for no other reason than that it was an important, that it was just a thing that wanted to live. So I just thought, in all the ugliness in this world, that there is that is in the world, that there are people that will, that know that it does matter, that saving the life of a kitten, you know, may not mean something to somebody else or whatever, but it means a lot to that little life. That it's not going to change the axis of the earth or do much of anything except, I guess, amuse me and keep me company for a while. But in the scheme of things, that's how human beings have that amount of goodness in them. So as much as I cannot stand humanity in a lot of ways, I have to think that there are good people in the world that, you know, will do something like that, that they will take their time to save the life of a kitten. So, I mean, even telling that story makes me a little weepy. I don't know if I told it well enough, but
Sure, you told it fine. Can I add something to that?
Sure.
If you don't mind. I have a dog who was abused and went through a lot before we got her, and was her, and we got her off Craigslist, and she took a lot to get out of her shell. There are some people who will do the most inhumane things to animals, and then there are some people who will take the time to get them out of their shell and get them and figure out, like what you did, and figure out what's mm-hmm. wrong with the animal and get them as close to healthy as they can be, and right. and go from there. And that's one of the better parts of humanity, and that's mm-hmm. one of the better parts that we get to deal with on a regular basis.
It's true. Well, he really taught me a lot, this little kitten. I relate to him a lot because He had a messed up childhood. He has a lot of anger. He still has anger issues, but he has come around. You weren't even able to pet this cat before. And now he's just the sweetest. He's just such a cool cat. And, I mean, yeah, he does have anger sometimes. Like, sometimes he'll hiss and whatnot. That's why I relate to him. But he is really just a big mush. And it showed me that's what love can do. It really did. And I believe that in a lot of ways, animals are, they teach me a lot. In fact, people, you know, I've had the people say, oh, I don't want to, if they lose an animal, they have to put an animal to sleep or whatever. They're like, oh, I don't want to go through that again. To me, it's part of the deal, because animals teach me, my pets teach me that life is temporary, and that we should appreciate what we have when we have it. Just because their lives are so short, and, you know, and when I really think about that, it helps keep me in the moment. So they really do teach me that we are only here for a blip, and that we have to make the best of it. And so what we do, I think, honestly, that's probably why I do what I do, because I want to leave the world better than when I found it. I'm only here a short time. We are all only here such a short time. So why would we not fight to make this a better place to live and for the people that come after us? And that's how I also know that we are connected. We're as a species, and as we're not just connected to each other, we're connected to all things, life, the earth, whatever is out there, all the layers of life that we've yet to discover or understand, that we don't even have the capacity to ask the questions, to know what, to get the answers, because we don't even know what questions we need to ask. That's how I feel about life. I mean, I do know that, you know, I don't believe in God per se, but I know there's more here than meets the eye. And that's, I think, the difference between with me or people like me who, and those who are these charlatans that are selling you whatever they're selling you, the man on a cloud myth, the afterlife, your reward will come in heaven. Which is ridiculous. But we're here now, and we need to help each other now. And there are, you know, I don't know if you saw today this Trump monster. He is a monster. This guy, he is unfit to hold. I mean, I tweeted to him. I'm just waiting for him to block me on Twitter. And also, or maybe he'll audit me. I don't know. you know how Nixon, he's going to be worse than Nixon.
Well, he already says he has enemies, right?
Right.
Didn't he say that?
Well, what did he say? That's what he said on his Twitter account today. His New Year's message. Wait, I'm just looking it up that I can get the exact. His new Happy New Year to all, including my many enemies and those who have fought me and lost so badly. They just don't know what to do. Love, exclamation point. This is the president of the United States? This is a very sick person. This guy is unfit to lead a drunken rendition of Auld Lang Syne, much less a modern nation. He is a very sick person. And this is somebody that will kill us all if he could. He doesn't have any qualms. And why we are allowing this to happen is another question if the human race makes it, that'll be something that they'll be studying, I guess, in another century. If we make it, because I guess it's all up in the air at this point, especially with these people. That's why I don't understand. So you have... you have people like that surgeon who saved my little kitten's life for no other reason than that this little kitten deserved to live. It's, you know, that's precious, right? And, you know, then you have people like the Republicans who the first thing on their agenda is they're going to take health care from millions of people. That's what gets them going. That's what gets them up in the morning. And, you know, there's something really wrong with Republicans. Now, I don't know what the hell happened to Twitter, because it's just a cesspool. Maybe I just get a lot of right-wing freaks on my Twitter feed. I try to mute them because I have anger. I'm like my little cat Francis Jr. Jr. He's got anger. I got anger. I get it. And, you know, I see that they're selling, so it says, they're selling a mug that says liberal tears on it. Like they're drinking liberal tears. And I mean, what the hell is wrong with them? This is why I say that they really need to secede, because they lack the fundamental maturity required to function in a democracy, in the kind of democratic system they pretend to love. They can't function, because they're just not well in the head. Because now look at, you think liberals would ever sell such merchandise like, oh, we're drinking conservative tears? They, if anything, what we do, we will extend health care to these morons. They love it. They'll all sign up for it. They all love the provisions of Obamacare, as long as you call it Kinex or some other name. But they all think that it's just wonderful. Meanwhile, they'll cast their vote for the people that are gonna take it away from them, and they're losing. You know, they still can't fathom that that's happening. Oh, they won't do that. That's not, no, just don't take them for their word, right? We're going to repeal and replace. They don't have anything to replace Obamacare with, because Obamacare is the Republican health care plan, you fools. The only thing that can replace Obamacare is single payer, and that's not what they're going to do. What they're going to do is dismantle the provisions, any of the regulations. They're going to defund it, so everything will collapse. All the websites will collapse. Everything that makes it function. They have been doing that since Obamacare was signed, just like they've been trying to undermine Social Security and Medicare, and they're very slick about that too. So, because what the hell is wrong with them? This is why I don't understand. We are here such a short period of time. Why do you wake up in the morning and want to take health care from people while sipping your coffee in a mug that says liberal tears? You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand that. I don't get it. And I think that I guess these people, they're just not as evolved. And in the meantime, they're dragging us all down with them. I don't know, because I've been really on a kick lately for, they need to secede. They just need to secede. We need to, like, you know, because if I had a girlfriend that, if I said, you know what, Black Lives Matter, and she said, all lives matter, I'd be like, whoa. You know, if I had a girlfriend that was like, I want to take health care from people, that got up in the morning and worked to say, get your government hands off my Medicare, I think this person is, I don't like this person. I don't want to be married to them or whatever. I think we need to separate. And they need to, you know, this whole thing with Trump has just revealed exactly who they are, as we know. That it hasn't, he's not, you know, an aberration to Republicans. He's everything they are. They are authoritarians. They are fascists. They are They love hierarchy. I mean, there's been studies done. They can't. They like a hierarchical society as long as white men, straight white men, are at the top. So they, when they talk about making America great again, what are they talking about? They, in their mind, they don't even know what they're talking about. Underlining it is this very not so subtle racist subtext of everyone in their place. So that's what they think is great, because they saw stuff on the Leave It to Beaver show, and there were some great John Wayne movies that that really got them erect, right? So when they thought, oh, America, America. They know nothing about America. When they talk about the good old days, they're not talking about where, you know, they're talking about, oh, my father was a coal miner. Like at that Republican convention a couple of years ago, when they were all waxing nostalgically about how America, the America that they knew, the very America, you know, that their parents grew up in, that their policies destroyed, that their aunt, so they're talking about, oh, my father worked in a coal mine, he put us through school, and that, you know, and here comes Reagan and Reaganomics destroying all of that. And it's not just Reagan, so let's give credit where credit is due, because it started with Reagan, but then we had the betrayal of the Democratic Leadership Council, the New Democrats. Who needs New Democrats? We don't need New Democrats. The old Democrats were doing just fine. And in fact, if it wasn't for the New Democrats, we wouldn't be in this new fascist age. So they turned their back on the New Deal. They sold out the American worker to Wall Street. And, you know, we're here. We have Fox News. Thank you, Bill Clinton, for the Telecommunications Act. I mean, we have to be honest with ourselves if we're going to move forward, because Ron Piccone is coming on at the half hour to talk about his article that he wrote for RepublicanDirtyTricks.com about this very thing that we're talking about. Is 2016 the death of the left? Is the title of his article. And it's not, which is the short story, but we'll wait for Ron to come on to talk about it. This is probably, if we can get through this and we can galvanize, this can be a good thing. But we cannot concede an inch to this fascist Twitler Putin puppet.
I like the Twitler there, Tara. that is a good one.
Thank you. I made that up.
I hadn't heard that. That's totally yours, because I did I can't even remember the one that I liked that Desi Doyen did like so much. Words are hard, but it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's New Year's. Desi Doyen liked it, but I can't remember it, so it doesn't matter.
Well, there you go. So I don't know. Yes, I think I made it, but now it's catching on, the Twitler, so that's good, because Twitler, that's what he is. He's Twitler.
Twitler is good.
What?
I was agreeing with you. Twitler is good. Yes, absolutely. I do have some major breaking news to cut in for a brief second, if you don't mind. This is reported from WGN. There's apparently several wounded and an attack on an Istanbul nightclub in Turkish news agency. I'm seeing from other outlets up to 600 people were inside the nightclub, and there's no word on how many were actually injured or killed.
What? Okay, Istanbul nightclub attack, several wounded in Turkey. This is what I'm looking at. Well, what are you going to do? Welcome to the tinderbox. And you think Trump is going to make this any better? No. This is only the beginning. It's not, it's going to get worse. That's when you look at first, I mean, he's not even president yet, and it's bad. Just him coming out when they were talking about Israel, and they asked, and him with Netanyahu, and when the press asked him his opinion, because of course he has to tweet, hold on, Israel, January 20th is right around the corner. This and everything that he's doing is just throwing gasoline on on the embers burning in Israel. I mean, what he said to the press, it was so clear that he was like a kid who had to give a book report, but he didn't read the book. He does not know what's going on in Israel. All he had to say was, they've been treated very unfairly, very unfairly. What is he talking? He doesn't even know what is going on. He doesn't know what the hell the issue is there. They just, to him, he heard something that they were treated unfairly. And what is this thing with unfairly? Him and unfairly. He's so treated so unfairly all the time. He's like a two-year-old. Oh, but Johnny got more. He got two cookies. This is unfair. Is it unfair for him to have been left a trust fund from his racist daddy who was sanctioned? Well, I don't know what this, it's not sanctioned, but he was, what's the word? Sued by the federal housing for not letting black people live in his apartments. This guy, so Trump thinks just by mere fact that he was left a trust fund that he's capable of running the free world. And what Putin did, because this guy is a Putin puppet, and it just goes to show you how much they just are proving everything I have said, which is Republicans hate this country. They hate America. They are incapable of functioning. Just look at their behavior. They love Putin, a dictator. This is a guy who cancels elections. And Trump is so bamboozled. He's like, he's got a 90% approval rating. So did Saddam Hussein. Because they're living in a dictatorship. I mean, what? And could you imagine? And Republicans, are there any decent Republicans left? They're just going to keep going along with this guy because he's going to fulfill their dreams of taking health care from millions of people? That's patriotic? No. And I'm here on this show that we are in the progressive world. We're taking back the mantle of patriotism because we're the patriots. We are the patriots. Just like we were the ones that declared our independence from the king. That was that crazy liberal idea that we the people can have a representative government and that we could all promote the general welfare without begging the king to trickle on us. That's a crazy liberal idea. And while when that happened, what happened? The British loyalists, aka the conservatives, fled back to the bosom of the king. So we're just like we were the patriots then, we're the patriots now, because we don't leave anybody behind here in this country. We understand what is required to have a functioning democracy. We understand that it requires people to be educated. It requires equal opportunity. It requires the knowing that if you fall, there's a safety net to catch you, that you are entitled to a decent middle-class life as a birthright. That is a point of pride, that everybody gets to have access to health care, that we don't have to stay chained to a job that we hate because we can't lose the health care. And I saw some other idiot, some other conservative tweeted, what? Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. You're still here. Go ahead.
Okay, because, I mean, I'm talking, and all of a sudden I hear, what was that? anyway, were you going to say something? Now he's quiet. Okay. So, what was I saying? Now that I was...
I apologize, Tara. That was trying to get Ron on because it's 9:30. We missed our ad mark, and I was trying to add Ron to the call because Ron is ready and to come on if you're ready for him. But
okay.
So let me try that again and see if it will cooperate this time. And it doesn't seem to want to cooperate this time. Let's take a quick break, and we'll get this to work in between the break. Awesome.
Okay.
It Sucks to Be Right. Tara Buster is for mature audiences live on FYINation.com and replayed on Progressive Voices.
Huddle up, 400 million, you heard it right, my friends, $400 million, ordained by God to your Voice of America. Huddle up, I picked a good day to do crack. Let me tell you right here and now, my friends, I can make all the on-air death threats I like. Why, I can incite rioting in the streets, but nary a dirty word, my friends. I picked a good day to do mushrooms, the ones I grow on my fat drug-addled ass. Oh, I gotta tell you, my friends, I'm so happy today. I'm gonna share the secret I keep here in the room I call the Excellence in Broadcasting Network. See this closet over here? This is where I keep the body of my dead mother. Don't move, Mommy. I'll have more sex with you later. Hee hee! Now, I want to tell you, my friends, I picked a good day to take the brown acid. Oh, I picked a good day to drink Drano.
It Sucks to Be Right. Tara Buster is for mature audiences live on FYINation.com and replayed on Progressive Voices.
Back. Happy New Year. Happy New Year's Eve, and we'll get through it. We'll get through it. We have 1,114 days until we inaugurate another president. Hopefully not Twitler. So, that's how many days we gotta get through this nightmare, and it hasn't even begun. Is Ron on the line?
He is not, but I'm actually going to call him physically. So just bear with me, and I will add. I'm gonna add him physically to the line to do it that way. So hopefully he will pick up that way.
Well, Ron, it's supposed to be. We had Ron Placone calling in or something.
Skype for whatever wonderful reason that we pay for Skype is not cooperating and allowing him to hear. So, I'm hoping that when I call him, it will allow us to connect the call and add the call to the group call and do it that way. And he'll pick up and know it's us and go from there.
Hi, Ron. And, I'm not available to take your call right now, but leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. All right, thanks a lot.
So, let me text him and let him know that I'm going to try and go from there. We are trying, and
I hope millions of people are clicking off the internet right now. So.
Listen
to this. They don't want to hear this.
Yes. Tara, why don't you continue your rant while I do this, and I will get him on, and as soon as I have him on, I will let you know.
Okay, thank you. So, okay. All right, everybody. We're back. We're good? Good. All right. It is New Year's Eve, and we have our work cut out for us. So, let's get this straight, people. let's get on the same page. We're not going to normalize this fascist. We are not. I don't care. He's not my president. This is not my president. Not in the least. This guy didn't even win. He did not even win. He convinced 80,000 people in the right areas, quote unquote right areas, to buy into his nonsense that he's gonna be the champion of the working man, the forgotten man. They're forgotten because of people like him and his buddies and all the people that he's surrounding himself with. You don't heal the nation. He comes out on election night to say, now we're gonna heal the divisiveness, so you heal the nation by tweeting, by gloating on Twitter. Think about it. Twitter. We have, who needs diplomats, right? When you have Twitter for this fool. Everybody's tweeting back and forth. He loves Putin. He has more respect for a dictator, a legitimate, outright dictator, than our own legally elected president, who was elected by more people than this freak lost by. So this is really a nightmare. So I am glad to hear that on Wednesday the president and the Democrats are going to get together and discuss how to fight them from dismantling Obamacare. But you know, it would help if we did have people in this country that weren't so systematically propagandized by the right wing. And it's not it's really scary, to tell you the truth, because we all know that there's this proliferation of fake news, but now the right, these morons, including Trump, are telling them that the news that's actually legitimate, that's informing them, that's the fake news.
Hello. And,
oh my God.
Hey.
Is that Ron?
Yeah.
Oh my. Where'd you come from?
Can you guys hear me? I'm on the telephone, doing it the old fashioned way.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you now. Are you being recorded is the other story.
Yes, you are. He is being recorded and everything is working perfectly. I feel like the old days at NASA.
Well, I hope not, honestly. Anyway, thanks for coming. How's it going? Thank you.
Yeah, sorry we had a glitch or whatever. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And I'm talking to Ron Placone, the amazing, talented comedian, speaker, pundit, liberal, normal person. You hear him on Stephanie Miller, on the Indie Bohemians, what else? Young Turks.
Jimmy Dore Show.
Oh, yes.
I'm on there a good bit.
Damn.
We just had a really fun show at Flappers.
Oh, well, you know my feelings about Flappers. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm bitter.
Yeah, no. It's a great club, man. We sold it out the day after. Well, I mean, not. I shouldn't say we. I mean, Jimmy sold it out the day after Christmas. I was just lucky enough to be part of the show, but it was a fun time.
Well, that's great. Congratulations. No, Flappers is good. I love Flappers. I was there
Indeed.
Once or twice. But anyway, so
yeah.
I love your article at RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. It's good because this is the conversation we need to be having, frankly. And so let me see here. Because it is.
Well, yeah, let's talk about it.
It's provocative. Is 2016 the death of the left? Now, that's sort of like when you see that, of course, Republicans would say yes. But I really think they may have won this battle, but they're not going to win the war. And because we're on the right side of history, and I like what you say. What you say, because it really is. It's not the death of the left. It's the death of the fake left. I mean, this is how I was reading into it. Do you want to talk about that a little?
Yeah, totally. That's pretty much the thesis or whatever summed up. I think that, you know, establishment Democrats, neoliberalism, however you want to label it, it's failed. You know, I mean, it has failed. It has failed us, and it's just time for a new direction. And, you know, the Democrats need to reclaim their footing with the working class. They need to reclaim their footing with the people. And I think you need to have a strong emphasis on labor, a strong emphasis on jobs, a strong emphasis on human rights.
Right.
And they kind of need to take a lesson from history. You know, I mean, Noam Chomsky kind of summed this up best, but, you know, with exception to the Bush years, the last time the Republicans had a stronghold like this was 1928. And what happened right after that was the Great Depression. But what happened after that was the rise of FDR and New Deal Democrats.
Right.
So we got to go that way again. Just kind of be in this middle of the road, you know, kind of tapping tapping the back of the private sector,
right,
and being corporate. It's not going to work. It's not going to win.
Right.
And I think there's some establishment Democrats out there that don't care about winning, but, you know, those people need to get the hell out of the way, or we need to vote them out.
Right. And they need to be identified who these people are. And I think Bernie kind of laid out a great roadmap for that, that just him not taking money from any super PAC or any big donor, that it sort of taints everybody who does take that money now. And he showed them how you win. And I mean, he's on the right side of history, like his agenda, Bernie's agenda, because it's the common sense agenda. And it's not a left or right agenda. It's a working person's agenda. So the thing that with Hillary, I remember during one of the debates, she said something like, "Oh, I want to be the president for all people. I hope they all love me, Wall Street and every, you know." I don't know if you remember that. And that's just not possible, because they're doing great. Now there's this whole, I was saying to Thomas the other day that I watched this, and I didn't watch it. I listened to a TED talk about David Cameron from the UK was talking about the future of government. And he said, he started this thing with his speech with, "There's just not enough money." And that is just bullshit. That whole premise that there's not enough money, there is enough money. It's just concentrated in the hands of the few at the top. So,
And it's spent on the military.
Right. Exactly.
It's spent on the military-industrial complex. You know, we live in a country where we will literally run out of bombs, and nobody asks the question, where are we going to get the money for more bombs? But they do ask the question, how could we make college affordable? How could we possibly do that? How could we possibly have universal health care?
Right. And even the people that benefit from free college and universal health care, it just drives me insane to hear them. Who's going to pay for this? Who's going to pay? Because they've been propagandized to think it's them. Oh, it's them. No, we're talking about a progressive taxation that defends democracy from the aristocracy and actually has that invests in a functioning society for all. So, I mean, I don't see. Good. I'm sorry.
That's the interesting thing. One thing I'll say to that is, you know, you said the people that benefit from free college and universal health care, everybody benefits from that. Like,
exactly.
Literally everybody from the poorest among us to the richest among us benefits. Like, if we had free college in this country, every single person, unless you are anti-intellectual to a level that cannot be measured, everybody wins. Like, every single person wins. Because even if you're the 1% of the 1%, you benefit so much more from a well-educated, well-informed populace. Because when you have that, crime will go down. When you have that, there will be more resources in your community. There will be more culture for you to consume and enjoy. There will be more goods and services available to you because, you know, more people will be participating in the economy. There will be better jobs. There will be more entrepreneurial minds out there. No matter what political ideology you subscribe to, no matter what income level you're at, free college would benefit everybody. There's nobody that would lose out on that. I mean, yeah, the richest among us might have to pay a little bit more. At the end of it, they're still going to be rich as hell.
That's cool.
But they live in a much better society. I don't understand.
Exactly.
To me, it is just a no-brainer. And same with universal health care. We already pay more and get less than pretty much every other industrialized nation.
Yep.
So a nonprofit single payer system, everybody would be better off, from the poorest to the richest, everybody. And some people, some really rich people do actually get that. You know, I mean, I was having a conversation with a guy the other day that when it comes to healthcare, he totally gets that. He's like, yeah, man, I know that based on my income, I would pay more than most other people, but it's still way better than the system we have now. And I don't mind paying a little more. If I know that nobody's going to go bankrupt because they break their arm, or that somebody poorer than me is going to get a life-saving surgery that they need. I get bothered when I have to pay these insane premiums because of a messed up for-profit system.
Right.
So, that, you know, there's people across the board that get it.
Right. It's just a matter of, I guess, just getting everybody on board. That's why I thought, you know, not to keep on talking about Bernie, but I just thought he would have been a great president, and he would have been a real like a true uniter, because he did speak. He kind of had a crossover appeal, because and his authenticity gave him a lot of currency in proposing those ideas. You know, so but now we're so divided. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, to get it back to the Democrats and what they need to do, because, you know, I'm not at the point, you know, I'm not at the point where it's like, well, we just need to burn it all down, because we can't just just let Trump run wild for four years.
No way. And
we can't just we can't just accept the fact that the Democrats have completely sold out. You know, we need to make some tweakage in the party and recognize that there are still some great people within the party that, yes, aren't technically Democrats. Bernie Sanders isn't really a Democrat, but he's causing a lot of waves in that party, and that party can fluctuate. You know, he was certainly a Democrat by the standards set forth in the 30s and even the 60s. You know, the Democrats used to be a true party of the people, and I like to remind people of that. Whenever I hear Bernie is too left, Bernie's a New Deal Democrat.
That's right.
You know, the last time we had a New Deal Democrat, it went over so well, they had to put on term limits, first of all. Second of all, we got Social Security, we got a weekend, we got wages. I mean, it worked out pretty well.
I mean, we can go on and on. It's the New Deal, that what's left of the New Deal, that still keeps people out of poverty today. There were... In the old days, the good old days before Social Security, over one third of people who retired were in poverty, and the primary cause of death for the elderly was malnutrition and hypothermia. So, you know, a lot of people even today, that's what's keeping them above the poverty line and giving them a dignified retirement. It's not the A lot of people from that generation that actually have a pension, the people that benefited from the New Deal, this is one thing, that they think that it was just by mere fact that they worked hard and whatnot. And that may be true, but they also had it was government policy that enabled that middle class life. And it's just like FDR said, it's not, you know, yes, we're on our way back, but it's not by chance. It's because we planned it that way. So they planned it to make the working class to have a strong middle class, to build the middle class. And that has to be the priority. But I see, you know, now this, what's going to happen with Trump? I really fear that it's going to be another depression. You don't have to be Miss Cleo to figure out what's going to happen. You just have to look at the policies. And, you know, it didn't bode well in the 20s. It didn't bode well when Bush did it again to us. And here we go again. It feels like deja vu.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you think we'd learn from history, but we really haven't. The good news is, in regards to Trump, first of all, this is a guy that does not want to work. He does not want the job. He'd rather be producing reality TV. He'd rather be starting his media company.
Right.
He didn't want to win. That's why his wife wasn't even planning on moving to D.C.
Right.
For the longest time. I mean, it's only recently she said, yeah, I'll come to D.C. She wanted to hang out in New York, be like, just get these 4 years over with quick.
Right.
He doesn't want the gig. He doesn't want to work. You know, he's appointing these ridiculous, insane people to his cabinet, and folks are paying attention to that for the first time. You know, I mean, he's not the first person to appoint insiders and Goldman Sachs folks to cabinet positions. Obama did stuff similar to that, too.
Yeah.
But it is amplified, not only because the people Trump are picking, you know, I mean, let's be honest, Hillary Clinton, she would have put some pro-fracking people in there.
Of course.
But would these be people that straight up deny climate change?
Right.
No. These would be people that would at least surround themselves with the right science. So in a way, it's a good thing that people are paying attention more than they would be otherwise.
Right.
Now, another thing is Donald Trump is an incredible, and I mentioned this in the article, Donald Trump is an insane recruitment tool for the left. This guy is racist, misogynist, xenophobic, and he has a very prominent Twitter account, and he has a filter that's about as good as a Brita that expired 10 years ago. This guy is going to make so many young progressives, it's unbelievable. You know, for me, it was Iraq, right? I mean, for me, it was, I was a young guy. I was a senior in high school and in college, and I didn't know why some of my friends that volunteered for the ROTC to help pay for college were getting shipped overseas, and I might never see them again because I had no idea why we were in that pointless war.
Right, right.
And we were in it because of fear, propaganda, and lies. And I learned about all that, and I became a huge lefty. And dating that pro-choice girl at the in the hippie dorm kind of helped out too. But it was mostly Iraq, that really made me a huge lefty, and still so to this day. Donald Trump will be Iraq times 10. I mean, the left is going to see a huge boost. And, you know, we're talking about the Democrats. One of the things that they're doing right is giving Bernie the position that they gave him. This is a guy that knows how to connect with people. This is a guy that inspired so many and lit a fire and now has his own movement.
Yep.
So he's going to get a lot of people that are willing to play the game because they know that we can't, you know, we can't, quote, burn it down. I would love to live in a society where we have more than two choices. I would love to live in a society where we have an actual progressive option. But until then, and it's going to take a while, until then, we need to at least get Democrats in there and get some true progressives in there, get more progressives represented in the Democratic Party. You know, and then in the future, when we start addressing issues like money in politics, when we start addressing issues well, I guess the biggest one is money in politics, actually. When we start addressing our voting process, you know, if we start going towards like something like ranked choice voting or approval voting, that could totally break down the two-party system. And I really want to live to see the day when that happens, and I think I will. But, you know, until then, we need to kind of look at the players we have and assess. And there's some things I'm happy with, some things I'm not happy with. Chuck Schumer, that guy was the, quote, brilliant mastermind behind the Hillary Clinton ground game, which right. was complete and utter garbage. Her ground game was atrocious. That's just the reality. I mean, I'm sorry. Like there's no sugarcoating that. You know, I always use this analogy. I went to Indy. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's just that it was a lot of hubris in their ground game. I think that she believed her own press, so to speak, that there was they were told that they were going to win, and they didn't really put the money or the people where they were supposed to. And in fact, they probably activated more Trump voters. I heard that they were knocking. They had this algorithm. They were knocking on doors, and there was a high percentage of people that they were knocking on doors to get out the vote that were Trump voters. So, I mean, they weren't activating their own people, and it was just a lot of missed opportunities, especially in with the Rust Belt. I mean, she's just the worst. She was the worst candidate for that, honestly. I mean, just think about the name, the Rust Belt. It used to be called the Manufacturing Belt, and now it's the Rust Belt. We should all be ashamed that we have a part of the country called the Rust Belt that we allowed to rust.
Yeah. You know, right? You're absolutely right. Hey, I'm from there, so I believe me, I can relate. I grew up in that stuff. So, I mean, at this point, bashing, you know, and I'm not even trying to bash Clinton, because at this point, there's no point to it. You know, right. I mean, it's over. Not even. And I understand a lot of people are still really feeling the sting. And I'm understanding of that. I mean, I had a lot of friends and a lot of colleagues that were big fans of hers. And, you know, we agree on 95% of things, 5% of things we don't quite see eye to eye on. And, you know, for a lot of my colleagues in that camp, Hillary Clinton was one of the big things. We don't see eye to eye on, but we do see eye to eye on the Democrats coming up and winning big in 2018. And part of how you do that, you have to look at past mistakes, and you have to look at them constructively, and you have to discuss like what went wrong. And you know, I think Chuck Schumer. You know, I went to Indiana University. All right, this connects. They're one of the worst football teams in the Big Ten. They've gotten better, but they're typically one of the worst. Every now and again, they will upset a team that like a Big Ten team that should easily beat them, that Indiana upsets them. And every time that happens, if you look at the sideline, all the coaches have this look in their eye going, where am I going to work next year? Because they know they are getting fired. That look should have been in Chuck Schumer's eye. But instead, he got promoted. Now, Keith Ellison... I still feel pretty good about him. He's trying to unite the party. Some of his decisions I thought were good decisions. Some of them not so much. The way he kind of, in fact, the way he antagonized people that criticized Clinton, I thought that was the wrong approach. He's trying to unite the party. I get that. But taking that approach, I think was the wrong way to do it. But he's working on that, and I think he's going to succeed. And the other decision that's been great, you know, to tie it back to Sanders, he is in the exact right position he should be in, and he's going to really cause some waves. Yeah. And you need someone in Keith Ellison's position that's going to listen to some of the ideas and some of the folks that he brings in, and I think he's going to. So, you know, I mean, there's reasons to not be totally disenfranchised by the Democrats, although the Democrats have certainly done an amazing job snatching defeat from the jaws of victory.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to have to continue this conversation, though I hear music.